Hello and welcome to episode number 38 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
I'm Robert Rosenthal.
A baseball win, some sunshine, that's all I need.
Warmer?
I'm back.
Warmer? Actually feels like spring?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw somebody walking on campus with, we gotta ask Maisie about this, she's here, the thing you put over your graduation gown, you know, it's...
A stole.
and it had the Greek letters on it, I assume, for this individual's sorority.
I don't think I had a stole. I believe those were reserved for people who had some type of academic achievement. I don't remember wearing a stole.
I'd like to order a stole, please. I'm sorry, you've been flagged for probation.
Sorry. You do not get a bronze tablet stole for graduation, sir.
Coming up on this episode... We are number one. We are number one.
What is that?
Well, we'll talk about it.
Interesting.
That's cause of tease.
Wow.
And we're not done basking in the afterglow of a Final Four run for the men's basketball team. We're going to look at some clips. It's a clips show. It's some favorite moments from the season and what made them so special. Plus a rundown of spring sports and a few other goodies for you. On this edition of Light the Eye. If you haven't, would you please take a moment to like and subscribe? And thanks always to our hosts and friends here at the Center for Innovation and Teaching and Learning at the University of Illinois here inside the Armory. All right, Robert, let's get her going.
Let's start by, you know, it's no longer Blue Eye March. Let's light the eye.
Last episode, you made mention of a way too early rankings for women's basketball poll that had the women at 16. And Casey Jacobson of Fox Sports just issued his way too early top 25 for next year. Guess who's number one?
The University of Illinois?
It's the University of Illinois for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those way too early rankings, they don't mean anything. They're way too early. That's why they call them way too early. They shouldn't even be put out there. But
until they put Illinois. Yes, yes.
Going to the ship.
Yep. Until they put Illinois first. And then it's like, well, this is obviously going to happen.
Is this the Sports Illustrated cover curse?
No. I mean, The Athletic did the same thing. They had Illinois 1 in there.
Yes, I think C.J. Moore did that. Yeah. I think it was him.
Yeah. So it's a great thing for somebody. I can't remember where I read this. This is my point. Somebody made the point, might have been on our Slack channel, that in today's world, that's a really great thing as you're headed into portal season to be like, hey, you're the missing piece kind of thing to whoever they're chasing of like, look, the roster as it is right now, probably the best team in the country. Want to come win a championship? You know, that's the sales point to not only retaining guys, but also, hey, Mr. Whoever we're chasing in the portal, would you like to be a part of one of the best teams next year? So it is helpful.
Look at you playing it cool, analyzing. You're not drinking any Kool-Aid here. You're just like, well, okay, well, that helps with the recruiting.
I've spent so much time the last 5 years saying in the portal era, the way too early rankings are completely useless that I can't just walk that all the way back to like, oh, yeah, they're great and we're going to win it all. I can't build that bridge. And I think we mentioned this the other day, like Tennessee women's team is now down to zero roster players, and they are listed on some of these way too early top 25s. You don't have a single player on your roster right now, and some people are like, well, yeah, that's a top 25 team. What? Who is a top 25 team?
You don't rank teams based on who's on your roster, Robert. You rank teams based on feelings, vibes, and brands.
Silly rabbit.
Coaches.
Tricks are for kids.
If you don't think that Tennessee can build a top 25 roster with nobody on it, then you just haven't been paying attention.
Well, I'm sure they will, and That's great. And but look, why are we ranking it if it doesn't exist yet?
Because Illinois had a good group of players this year that got to the Final Four. So obviously, some of those players are coming back. Maybe. Probably. Definitely. Probably.
Probably.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I'm told that might happen.
Yes. It's why, again, I'll give my sales pitch again. I go to my Twitter feed and I mute certain words during April every year. I have the word portal muted. Any tweet with the word portal in it, I will not see. I don't care. I don't want... I'm trying to contain myself because this could be a 13-minute rant. But this whole idea of people know rankings, right? And people know, oh, that's the number 65 player, that's the number 12 player, this and that. Once they started doing this for portal, people don't really... There's no boundaries for that. So you will see... I do this every year. I will just search on Twitter for the words one of the top, and you can find literally hundreds of the Memphis Tigers land one of the top guards in the portal. Virginia Tech landed one of the top centers in the entire portal. University of Washington landed one of the top shooting guards. It's just people can just say it. There's no rankings. There's no anything else. So people just go in there and say, like, yeah, they went one of the top. Apparently there are 600 top players in the portal, and everybody has landed one of the top wing guards.
Well, if you look at the number of players that go in the portal,
yes,
it's a reasonable statement, actually. One point of the top 600 is yes. Probably at some point going to be like a third of the players that go in it. No, I read already 1,000 when the portal opened.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it right after the national championship that it opened up?
Yeah, midnight on Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah,
Tuesday,
so...
First minute of Tuesday morning.
1,000 players already.
Yep.
And I get your point, but it just doesn't sell as well when you say... Virginia Tech lands one of the worst combo guards in the portal.
Yes, you're right.
They
yes.
just
yes
doesn't work as well.
Yes, one of the top. Okay, that phrase they has need lost a its
they
meaning.
They need a tear. Just like, you know, Syracuse just got this wing from Dyersburg State. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's just fine.
Yes, that's right.
Not great.
UCLN lands an okay power forward who might be good. Let me write the headlines.
All right. So better than projecting a roster that is completely unknown yet for most teams in America and looking ahead. You want to bask a little bit more?
Yes, I want to bask. I'm going to bask for the next month because obviously I'm not going to be looking at portal stuff. So what else am I going to think about?
Well, baseball, softball, golf, tennis, track golf. And field.
Yes, it is golf, SZN.
Preparing yourself for a long jump.
Mm-hmm.
let us bring in Maisie Garrett, our amazing Maisie producer, who Ella was at the game on Saturday for the Final Four as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Maisie got to go as a journalist. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi.
How was your experience in Indianapolis?
It was amazing. I was underwhelmed by my experience at the Big Ten tournament. So I was kind of expecting something similar for the NCAAs, but it was absolutely fantastic. Set a bar very, very high heading into my next job. So let's hope it's not too long before I see another Final Four.
Yeah, I'm a bit jealous because you've now done something and you're not done with college yet that I've never done, and that's cover a Final Four. Mm-hmm. I'm not upset because I was in my happy place doing baseball, and that was all great. I'm just saying that's good for you.
Yeah, thank you. I think one thing that I really appreciated about their whole setup, too, especially with media, is they really prioritized a lot of college students getting seats there. There was a lot of media that didn't get seats.
Yes,
and they even had 6 seats open for IU students, which – doesn't fully make sense. I'm sure there's some sort of deal there with the college because it was in Indy. But
or maybe the 76 team reunion because they had that reunion for the 1976 team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it could be that. But I think it was nice to see finally prioritizing college students get that experience because It's college sports, so I really liked that, appreciated that. I got a spot up in the press box.
Were you there on Friday morning before the Illinois shoot-around for the Underwood press conference? Were you at the locker room? Were you there or no? You didn't go till Saturday?
No, unfortunately, didn't go till Saturday.
Oh, you probably had like class and responsibilities in life?
Not even.
getting a shoal?
Stole.
Stole. What did I say? Shoal?
Stole, yes.
Wait, is that a
shawl
thing? Oh, that's a
you
shawl.
You're thinking a shawl.
What's a shoal? Isn't that like an island or a shore?
Dr. Shoal's shoes?
Yes. Yes. Inserts? The reason I'm asking, it was kind of a funny one. You're right that they really included the student journalists. And they had a moment of, let's see, Underwood's press conference went about 15 minutes with Ben there, Ben Hummerkaus. And then I believe it was just Underwood. And they brought in like 20 student journalists. And they said, okay, for the next 10 minutes or whatever, questions are only coming from the student journalists. The funny thing was, is they're like, okay, in our front row here, we have the student journalists who are part of this program. We're going to let them ask the questions, which I think is great. And they always ask great questions. They go to a kid from Nebraska first, and his question was essentially, hey, did Nebraska beating you at the buzzer in December really spark you to go win? Like, he wanted a Nebraska-centric answer. And Underwood had fun with him. Like, yeah, you had to bring up the buzzer beater, right? You know, and all that kind of stuff. But it was just funny that the rest of the questions were all really good questions of this and that. It's just the Nebraska kid had to go like, okay, what question am I going to ask? Yeah. Remember when Nebraska beat you at the buzzer? Was that the thing that sparked your entire... Is Fred Hoiberg the reason you're here at the Final Four, essentially, is what he was asking. And Underwood had a good time with it. So, yes, they are very, very pro student journalists at the Final Four.
Robert, you're saying that, like, if you weren't in his position, you wouldn't do the same thing.
That's so well said.
We've reached the throw it back at you stage of this.
I love it. You're 100% correct. I've sat at a PJ Fleck press conference pondering certain Illini questions I would ask him. So, touche. Very well said. You are correct.
Well done and well played.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back to Maisie in a little while, but nostalgia time. I don't know. Is this nostalgia time? You've prepared this.
Yes.
So yes. Tell us what we're going to do.
So first off, I should probably say this will be the next 10, 15 minutes here will probably be a little better if you're watching the YouTube feed because there's video involved, but there's also audio. So if you're listening on the podcast feed, that's fine as well. We're just going to talk through moments from the season. And here's what I wanted to go through today. The biggest thing that has stuck out to me when I reflect across the full season in the last few days is how many put the game away runs this team had in them. How many times they could just put up 10 points immediately and put the thing away. It doesn't even have to be like a 12-0 run. It could be something, you know, one of these runs in here is 24-4. But I just wanted to go through it. It was like the thing I will remember about this team, and let's be honest, they even did it in the semifinal game. They were just too far behind. They cut it from 14 down to 4, but it was too little too late. But they just had this ability to turn it on. So we're going to start.
These are what Evan Mayakawa calls kill shots.
Yes. Yes.
The 10-0 run, or is it the 20-0 run?
10-0 is what he calls a kill shot. Yeah. Yes.
And there's times when Illinois went on 20-0 runs.
Yes.
Against Big Ten teams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But your percentages of winning, your chances, your probabilities of winning a game go way up if you've had a 10-0 run.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It's, in baseball terms, if you put up a big
crooked number.
Right? In one inning,
yes.
The chances are you're going to win that game. Not always.
Mm-hmm. What struck me going through this is that there are so many moments of, like, for example, you pulled the video here now, Maisie, and we're going to start with the Tennessee game. like, I remember us winning it handily. Here it is, 11 minutes left, and it's 48-47. And I'm just gonna play this thing, and you'll hear the audio in the background. But, you know, Tennessee's up here, what, 49-48 with, you know, this and that. And this is where Illinois goes on a little run. It's just this ability to watch the crowd here. You know, like, all these games, you could just feel these moments of, okay, wait, they're starting to take over. And for anybody in Nashville that night, this was in early December, it just kept coming down. And now all of a sudden, you know, 3 minutes later, Illinois is up 61-52. I think Boswell scores again here to make it 63-52.
This is also the post-UConn in Madison Square Garden game. Mm-hmm. So they've already changed some things.
Yep. And Tennessee had cut it back to six here. And then you've got these two threes here from, you know, I left this one in. Tennessee cuts it back 66-60. It's still a game. What does Illinois do? Comes right back down the court, goes right back to Big Z, wide open for another three. All the Illinois crowd, which was a massive Illinois crowd that night, hits it. And at that moment, you just know it's probably over. And then this is the moment Merck hits this three. And gone. Like, that's it. Ball game. All right, let's go back a little bit here. I just want to show... we're going to look for pacing Robert. Oh, there he is right there up in the upper corner of the screen, pacing around. He can't sit still, folks, when it's a close game. But after that,
this
I sat down.
This is a nine-point game.
I mean, that put it to 12, and it was over. So, okay. You know, so we have all these moments of this is a team that could just step on throats is the best way to say it, you know. And next thing I'm going to go through here, like, everybody remembers the Purdue game as Keaton Wagler going off for 46 points, and he hit 9 of 11 threes and everything else. But Purdue also played really well. Braden Smith played really well. And Purdue, as you can see from the score here on the screen, Purdue led 75-73 with a few minutes left. And then, you know, this is what this team could do. Go to Jake very late in the shot clock, about a half second left on the shot clock.
I mean, this has become had become a patented move by Jake Davis. We watch him, even in, you know, going to media availabilities, he's going through this drill.
Yes.
A guy is coming to close out, you sidestep and then shoot.
Yep.
And he became so good at this.
Yep. Yeah, squares himself.
That's other point about Jake Davis, just while we're here. We were just joking earlier, you know, if Illinois gets Jake Davis, Illinois lands one of the top, what do you call him? Want to call him shooting guards, wing,
yes,
forward guys.
He's probably more shooting guard than anything, but
okay,
yeah,
whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can roll your eyes at that.
Sure.
Okay, transfer from Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, I mean, what they are versus what they will become.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't know when Jake Davis got here that he would end up in his second season actually being in the starting lineup.
Absolutely.
That was somewhat by circumstance because Stojakovic went down and then things were rolling. And it's like, if it ain't broke, let's not fix it. And Stojakovic turned out to be a great sixth man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My point is you want, you know, the buzz about Illinois right now in the portal is John Blackwell, right? And there's some, makes sense. His dad played here and they'll need a lead guard, scoring guard. So maybe he comes here, but you can get all in on that. But there's maybe the next Jake Davis out there.
Yes.
That Illinois may add. And you're going to go, well, that doesn't seem like he did much.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing to have right now, if you're a college program, is a coach or a full staff that knows the type of player they want. Because it's not like Jake Davis was some, like...
Yeah, Illinois has got a test.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They know if you're the player they want.
That's right. Yes, take this test and we'll see. And, yeah, he has
the
turned into...
The entrance exam.
You know...
The admissions test for Illinois basketball.
You're looking for a chef, right? You're looking for somebody who understands the ingredients. And that's what that's the biggest thing. I always say this to people all the time. The first offer Underwood made as Illinois head coach was a kid who had no offers named Obi Toppin, who had just had a great senior season. He ended up picking Dayton, didn't pick Illinois that first spring. This is days after Underwood got the job. Went to Dayton and was National Player of the Year in 2020. You know, that was a signal that this coach has an eye for, hey, that guy has this, this guy has that. I mean, we can talk about Wagler, obviously, but we can also talk about all these other guys that he's just spotted of, like, that's the guy we need for that role, and he's able to find him. So,
all right,
great point. Great point. Let's watch it again.
Purdue.
I thought he wasn't going to get this off. As soon as he dribbled it, it was like, oh, boy. But it was like 0.4 when it left his hand on the shot clock. But then everybody remembers this. Extra pass to Merck, another three, and suddenly it goes from the Purdue lead to 79-75. Come right back down, go right back to Tommy. He hits a three. And I remember this moment of, like, that was the, like, hold on a second. Are we about to beat Purdue at Purdue? I mean, what was Purdue at the time? Number four in the country or whatever? Like, because Purdue kept coming back and Smith kept hitting threes and TKR kept hitting shots in the lane, I was, you know, I'm watching that game thinking, okay, well, I've seen this game before. I know what's going to happen late in this game and they're going to hit the shots and pull away. So those threes there were like, whoa, this team is really, really different. There was another run earlier in the game. I think Illinois was down 10. Let me try and think of this. Illinois was down 10 with like 45 seconds late in the half and then had a 3-point lead 2 minutes into the second half with a 13-0 run over those, you know, 2.5 minutes or whatever. So, it's just a team that had that ability. It's what I'm always going to remember. Next up, we're going to go to Nebraska. this is the same thing. So, people remember, you know, this. That little pass from Tommy. Gosh, we got to watch it again, don't we?
Mm.
You know, this little tip pass from Tommy is the reason
swipe
this run
left,
started.
Right?
So, it's yes.
The swipe left pass.
So, 53-52, Davis hits this three off that pass from Tommy. Suddenly, it's a two-possession game. And this is where Illinois just begins to step on throats.
And the awareness in that swipe pass of both the location of your teammate and the shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything could happen in that instant.
Yep. And so here we are, how many minutes later, and suddenly it's a 63-52 game. Like, 10-0 run in 2 minutes and 17 seconds. So it's just that kind of, like, it's over and over, this team, it would be a close game, and then just a burst out of nowhere to put games away. And that's a game that was the loudest environment that Illinois probably faced all season. That arena can get really loud. Nebraska was top five at the time. You saw the students in the white shirts, everything else. To go on the road and to do that at Nebraska, that's, you know, this is all the build toward, like, wait, this team has a little something extra.
It was also Rob the Bank.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Pinnacle Bank Arena. So they had written on the board, Rob the Bank.
They wrote Rob the something else bank. But
there was an F in there. And
I don't think
was
we can mention
the
that.
Rest of the word. No, it's FNBO, yes. First National Bank of Omaha.
Yes.
That's
Rob the FNBO. Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's what was written.
The FNBO was blocked by somebody in the picture, but it's
Rob the Finbo Bank.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But there's always things in a very good team's run that become rallying points. And you mentioned it last episode. It was light the fire moment, but it was also fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like, okay, this team's come together with its personality, its identity. And if nothing else, this team knew how to go get wins on the road this year.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, a little bit better sometimes it felt like than at home.
I mean, look. Tyler and I talked about it in Indy. I hesitate to say this out loud because people can take it in several directions. But walked out to the floor, it's just solid orange everywhere. 75-80% of the crowd in the dome is wearing orange for our game. And part of me was almost like, I'd kind of rather have a road environment. Like,
because they've thrived in that.
Yes.
It's not a criticism of the fans.
Not a criticism of anything other than in Houston, they fed off being the, you know, being on the road, if you will, at that. And I feel like they fed off not getting St. Louis and having to go to Greenville, and they fed off this. But then you go to the Big Ten tournament in Chicago, and the crowd is pro-Illinois, and they didn't play very well. So it was this, yes, it's that's not – Illinois lost on Saturday night because they didn't shoot and couldn't – they got the shots at the rim and couldn't even get those to fall. That's end of story. That's why they lost. But it is interesting to look back at the entire season and be like, man, when they felt like they were the, you know, the underdog or being disrespected or, oh, Houston's going to win this game. It's 2 miles from their campus, whatever. That's when this team thrived. So, all right, we're moving on to the tournament now. So we're going to do 3 tournament games. You know, this is, as I said before, you kind of forget. So what's the score here? 28-26. Like, Illinois losing with 3 minutes left in the first half. And I love it. Was it Tracy Wolfson calling this game? I can't remember who
this is.
Yes,
that was, she was sidelined. Yeah,
this is such a great call by her. Listen. They need to go stronger to the hoop. Yes, Tracy. Good.
Stoyakovich
well
just
timed.
Elevated.
Yes, and he jams it. So, again, at the end of the half, it was just Andre. Just, I mean, that kiss off the glass is a ridiculous angle. Then he stepped back here.
With a little kiss.
Yep. And suddenly, you know, from trailing, Illinois is up 7. And then you get to early the second half here, and it just keeps going. Keaton stepped back. Pure. I think this is the block. Yeah. And we all know where this is going, right? Like, you know what the exclamation point's going to be here. But, you know, get your rebounds. Don't lose possession. Get another 3. Here's a dunk by Tommy. And then we know what's going to happen here. We'll just listen.
Poster.
And then such a great call by referee.
Take me to the Balkans, please.
You know, and suddenly it's, what is it? After Kylan hits this logo 3 here. Yeah, now it's a 17-point game. And that's only 6 minutes into the second half. So it's this, you know, I just forget that Illinois was trailing with 3 minutes left in the first half against VCU. And then it's a 17-point game 6 minutes into the second half. It's just this ability to turn it on and win with offense. And it just carried them the whole season. We're going to go through 2 more games of it here. Next up is we're going to Houston for the Houston game. So just to pause, you know, this is Keaton going for this steal here, a very important steal and layup. Illinois is up 27-26 at this point. And again, Houston crowd is loud. This is big moments for all of that. But we'll just watch the whole 17-year-old run here.
Bodies everywhere. Carnage. Mirkovic cutting Tevis.
I'm going to pause it here in a second to show one thing. But again, it's just executing the offense against the top 3 defense in the country, getting rebounds. Here's what you just talked about, the step side. And all of a sudden, Illinois is up 10. Okay, I'm going to pause it here just to tell a little story. Okay, here's the court here. I've told people how this is. Over here in the corner, that's little Robert hiding up against the thing. Like, that's where I went to pace. So if you wonder where I go to pace, all arenas usually have this little spot by the tunnel. Right here was the exercise bike in case some player needs to stay warm or whatever. And then there I am over there just unable to handle the emotions of a game. A 53-year-old man hiding in the corner, watching the game from there so he can step back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and watch.
Hey, Robert, we're ranked number 1 already. You know, they only use that for... That's not a big deal. That's it.
You'd see me taking off there. As soon as he made that, I can't cheer, obviously, so I just need to, like...
Verboten.
Yes, I need to work out my emotions through just walking around in circles. God, when he hit that, I mean, now it's a 15-point game. All of a sudden. And then Ben hits this three, and it's an 18-point game.
That's the kill shot.
Yeah, that is 100%. That is the biggest kill shot moment of the season. Houston takes the timeout. The Houston fans were just like, I saw a couple people leave at that moment. You know, it's a 17-19-point game, whatever it was. That
people Illinois has been on the other side of that type of run before, as we all know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there is a moment where it goes from, ooh, we've got some momentum here, to we got to get a stop now.
Yep.
All right. Ooh, if we don't do something now, this is out of hand, and then there's no answer.
Yep.
This is over. And that was that shot.
Yes, 100%. It's so nice to see. I've been in the Illinois crowd when the other team does that to us, and it's just, you know, you can feel the deflation in the State Farm Center. To have that in their city was perfect. Okay, so the last one here is Iowa. And again, pause it. It's 49-48. Iowa led at the under eight timeout. So it's just, does Illinois have a gear to put this game away? Yes. Yes, they did. So here are the scores, 52-51 Illinois. These are probably the two biggest plays of the game. Tommy just gets this over the rim. And then they go back, and it's a great call from the announcers saying, like, the height's bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So hadn't had a two-possession lead the whole game, and suddenly it's a five-point game. And then this.
And this is the stuff that sets up the step back.
Yes.
Because he can dissect.
Absolutely.
And you have to respect that.
Yep. And then this, great from Merck to Z. And it, again, Iowa hits two threes there. They cut it to four, and what do? Goes straight down to Dre. Make the layup, and there you are. I just want to listen to these words. So, yes, that's my favorite part of this season was trying to contain the noise that I wanted to make. Because, you know, I'm sitting in press row, so I can't cheer. I can't even make a noise. And it was just this constant, like, try to find an outlet for what I'm wanting to be jumping up and down and screaming and fist pumping and everything else. And I can't do that. So this was the type of team that could give you that emotion of it was just a 2-point game and now it's an 11-point game. Don't go to the restroom. Don't go get popcorn. You need to be out there watching this team because they have the ability to absolutely burst. And that's what I'm always going to remember.
Good season, boys.
Great season.
Robert just talked about having to hold in all the emotion, the desire to scream and yell and jump for joy when your team is doing what you want it to do. You know what a great place to not do all of that is, though? Logic Coworking, one of our sponsors here on Light the Eye. That's because Logic Coworking is designed for productivity and a quiet place to work or study or get a project done. But you could reserve one of their conference rooms or event space, and then you could maybe do all the yelling and screaming you want. Logic Coworking provides a great environment with fast internet, printing, even kitchen. There's also showers and lockers for all of your needs. If you need to be working remotely, if you just want a place to get away and do a retreat, or if you want to study for the day, there's even student discounts. Logic Coworking is at the corner of Neal and St. Mary's. I've already heard from one out-of-towner that listens to Light the Eye who's planning to come to Champaign for a spell, and they're going to be using Logic Coworking. Thanks so much to Logic Coworking for being a partner with us on Light the Eye. Spring feels like it's maybe here now. And Illinois baseball started a 12-game homestand as of last night. They got a win over Indiana State 7-3, so they avenged the loss in Terre Haute from a couple of weeks ago. So I thought we should check in on the spring sports now that there's no more winter sports left, right?
Right.
That was it.
Yep. Let me ask a question about 12-game homestand. How, is that three weekends plus some Tuesday games?
Correct.
Wow.
Yep. This weekend is the non-Big Ten weekend. Every team in the Big Ten during the conference season has to play a non-conference opponent because there's an uneven number of teams in the Big Ten. So
which is all Wisconsin's fault.
All Wisconsin's fault.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans is here this weekend, then Oregon and Nebraska.
Got it.
Really, really good opponents. Anyway, pitching continues to rule the day. Yesterday's headliner was Ike Young. Local folks know Ike Young because he's from Monticello High School, alma mater of
Lauren Tate.
There you go. Ike was a very good three-sport athlete, but he chose baseball, and he was drafted by the Reds, I think, out of high school, but he said, no, I want to go to college and get developed. He's really had a hard time in his first few outings this year. He could throw 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. I'm not making that up. I mean, he's that good, and there's a reason why the pros were interested in him. But it's only in the last few outings that he's really started to put some things together, and he threw 3 1/3 scoreless yesterday, by far and away his best outing. So if he can come along, look, it's hard to catch up to 97, 100 miles an hour, but mm-hmm. even college hitters can do that eventually. They can catch up to it. You got to have all the other pieces in there, and you have to have location. So good for Ike. It was very encouraging.
He could legit hit 100 on the gun?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, New Orleans is in this weekend. Illinois is a game over 500. Game under, though, in Big Ten play. 12 teams out of the 17 will make the Big Ten tournament in Omaha. Softball has been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
They're just 2-9 in Big Ten play, 11-28 overall. Lucky them. They get UCLA this weekend. They did beat Western Illinois last night, 8-0 in a run rule game in five innings.
What's UCLA's ranking?
Number 8.
Oh boy. It's just so I thought by now it would not be as jarring to be talking about UCLA or Oregon or this. It still is like hard to, you know, it's just hard to remember that this is actually a thing, and in some of these spring sports, those West Coast teams are probably going to dominate for quite some time.
Yeah, they have invested in them. They have the weather, and they have a huge population base.
Yes.
West of the Rockies that plays these sports.
Yep.
Out in good weather. It's just there's a natural advantage to it.
Yep.
Should we talk for a moment, though, about the Big Ten sweep of the Big Three?
Probably should. I'm the only human being on earth that's going to hate it. But yeah, let's talk about it.
I knew this would be a case for you. I knew it. We didn't pregame this.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana wins football.
Sorry.
Michigan,
got a roll reaction.
As we know, wins the men's basketball national championship. And UCLA wins the women's basketball national championship. You know, it's funny as we don't get into politics on this podcast. Just not our aim. But, you know, there's certain world events going on that right now internationally that made people wonder, like, are things going to be significantly different in the next 24 to 48 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, and Michigan is the last to win a national championship. And but you know what? At least it's a Big Ten's national champion, right? Because that hasn't happened since 2000. So Michigan wins it for, a team from the state of Michigan wins this one. But if you go back 2000, I'm sure is, oh wait, I'm being, that was Michigan State. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the last two national champions out of the Big Ten were in the state of Michigan. The one before that was, well, yeah, UCLA. See, that's not in, but they're not,
doesn't
well,
count.
They didn't, weren't in the Big yep. 10 there. Okay. Well, let's back up then. Before that, that would have been, 1989? Well, what was the year of the Fab Five? No, 89, the Michigan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fab Five didn't win it that first year, but the...
Do you see my disdain over here? Just like grumbling.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But you're right.
Surely, Michigan, somebody else won a Big Ten title. And maybe that's better because, let's see, it was 1987. That would have been
87 Indiana, 81 Indiana, 76 Indiana. But then there was 79 Michigan State. Yeah. We just need to break this next year so that we can stop talking about. Look, okay. if Big Ten football won three in a row, not Big Ten basketball won three in a row, if it was three different teams for football, maybe it would be three different teams for basketball. Maybe one of those teams, your University of Illinois Fighting Illini. Maybe.
All right. Anyway, well, you just mentioned that the Big Ten is good in some of the non-rev sports, more on the West Coast.
Here's the best I can do with Illinois, or that the Big Ten won football, men's basketball and women's basketball. Here's the best I can do with that. Here's how warped my brain is, okay? I find it funny that Indiana didn't land Dusty May when they should have. I mean, actually, Ohio State had a chance to land him as well, and they didn't. But after that Florida Atlantic run to the Final Four, a smart Indiana AD just dumps Woodson and goes and gets him because he's the next thing. And let's remember, Dusty May was a manager under Bobby Knight. He was a Hoosier student. He is Indiana through and through. He grew up wanting to be the Indiana head coach. And Indiana, I mean, we just talked about it. 87 is their last title. There are, what, somebody born in 87 is how old today?
39
years old. Somebody's 39 years old, doesn't know of an Indiana national title in their lifetime. And they had their chance with a former student and student manager who bled Hoosier basketball his entire life, and he just won a national title with Michigan. So my warped brain, if Michigan's going to win it, I need some kind of solace, and that comes from, well, at least Indiana didn't get him. That's where my brain goes. At least Indiana's not back. You know how crazy? I mean, what was Michigan 2 years ago? Like 8-26 or something like that? I mean, they were terrible. And here they are 2 years later, national champions under one single coach.
You back up a few years and you look at where things were in the Big Ten, and you might have said, you know, the future national champion is going to come from the Big Ten. And it's going to be UCLA. And people are like, what? How would UCLA be in the Big Ten? And you'd say the future national champion in men's basketball will be Michigan. And you'd say, what? How is Michigan able to recover from all they went through as a program and some of this and that, you know, not even in football, but everything that was going on. And then you'd say, and in football, it was Indiana. And people would say, what? I didn't even know Indiana still played football.
Yes. In 2 years, Indiana built a national champion, and in 2 years, Michigan built. I mean, I'm looking at it here. Michigan was 8-24 in the 2024 season. 8-24 2 years ago right now, and then now they won the national title. It's crazy. And Indiana football, what, you know, same thing. Nothing, and then national title.
And I don't know what the future is for Iowa basketball, but we were talking about how Ben McCollum, you know, he obviously imported a bunch of his own players, but you can turn. There's no more. Get a new coach.
Yeah.
Get your first recruits in. Build from there. Brad Underwood's had to do it two different ways. He got you almost. He was starting to knock on the door of things with, I built up my classes, and then 2021 happened. But then from there, it just turned into, let's portal.
Yep.
And we can try and stay there.
New team each year.
That's why you know, without even knowing the roster, that they're the best team in the country.
Yep.
And just go ahead and book it.
I've made this point on the podcast before that there's just a subset of teams, your Iowa States, your Houstons, your, I mean, Alabama, Vanderbilt of late since they hired Byington. Like, there's just a subset of teams. It's not Kentucky. It's not Kansas. It's not UCLA. It's not North Carolina. There's this certain set of teams that have figured out this portal thing, Illinois being one of them. And those are the teams near the top every year now, while North Carolina's firing their coach and Kansas is wondering what the exit strategy is with self, with his health and everything else that he talked about. And it's just not the same kind of thing. Whereas 15 years ago, oh, well, all the top high school recruits are going to Kentucky or Kansas or North Carolina or Villanova, and they're going to win the title every single year. And now it's a completely different thing.
Tennis, briefly. Men are coming off a sweep of Purdue. They're out in Southern California this coming weekend to visit UCLA, which is good, and USC. The women are not having the best year for them, but what Evan Clark has done there on the overall is solid. They'd won four straight Big Ten matches, but they've lost their last three. They're hosting the two California schools this weekend. Women's golf is coming off a fifth-place finish in the Coach Mo Classic down in St. Augustine, Florida from last week. They are at the Boilermaker Classic this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Robert, you're our resident men's golf follower, so give us the snapshot of that right now, because we've got a few more items to get to here before we got to shut this one down.
I think the most fascinating thing is how much Mike Small has been shifting the lineup this year. Like, Max is one of, if not his top player, Max Herendeen, and he sat him for the tournament in Oregon. Max, as playing as an individual in that tournament, won it, as, but he wasn't part of the team score. But he had been struggling so much that he sat him. And then this last tournament, he put Jake Birdwell into the lineup for the first time this spring, and Jake was the top finisher for the Illini at this tournament. He's played with the transfers, Freddie Turnell and Dane Huddleston. He's moved some guys from the bench into the lineup and some guys from the lineup back to the bench. He's usually, by mid-April like this, settled on, you know, here's my top four, and then five and six are still a question. Right now there's eight guys who could be – Big Tens are what, in 3 weeks? They have the tournament at Indiana coming up next weekend, and or this coming weekend, and then Big Ten's May 1st out in Oregon. And, there's eight guys who could be in the lineup of the five. It's just not known yet. And that's not – I don't think that's been true any of the last 15 years, that they're still going through. Maybe it's a testament to the depth, and maybe it's a testament to how many how much potential each one of these guys are, but I could not tell you right now who the lineup is going to be at Big Tens. And last 10 years, I could have probably nailed the lineup on whatever it is, April 10th or April 8th or whatever we're at. So be interesting to watch once they pick the lineup for the Big Tens.
Track and field, both men and women, are hosting an outdoor event at Demersion Park this weekend, the Illini DECA Jam. They're just back from the Florida relays. All right, a couple of things to clean up from or respond to from the comments from last episode. It is Maiz, the restaurant.
It is.
But it's kind of like the Spanish spelling is, mm-hmm. has no E, according to Google Translate.
Interesting.
But okay. You would say Maiz.
So if I'm saying I'm going to the restaurant, I should stop saying I'm going to Maiz.
Yeah.
Okay.
But somebody said they saw the owner on television refer to it as Maiz. I've heard it that way. I swear. That's why I said it.
Anyway, okay. All right. That's good information to have.
Yeah. Very good. A lot of people liked the Jolt reference from the 90s and the Kenny Rogers roaster chicken, too, from our from our light.
The glowing eye.
Best wishes to Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman. He posted today that he will be out for a little while. He is recovering from a retinal detachment, and he's going to have surgery on his other eye very soon, so that means he just won't be out and about in the public very much watching spring sports. So if you know anybody that's gone through that, I think that's the one where you got to have your head down for a good amount of time after you have the procedure. So anyway, sending best wishes to Josh Whitman and maybe to whoever else in Josh's household that has to
wait on him hand and foot.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's not the most fun thing to go through. And then we were talking about this the other day. We're not letting you off the hook here on your
long jump.
Yeah, your what did you say? You postured that you could make a 10-foot long jump without just right now. Just go do it. Somebody came up.
I said easily.
Yeah.
Yes.
And somebody came up to you.
Yeah, in Indy to tell me that on a lot of college long jump pits, the board, the line you jump from, is 10 feet from the sand, because no one's ever going to jump less than that. So so that would be an issue, that if I didn't get 10 feet, I would land on. Now, they said, like, you go to a grade school track, and it'll be like 4 feet from the sand or whatever, or something like that, some junior high or something. So, like, it's not that. But just keep in mind that for some of them, if you go out to try it, make sure it's not 10 feet from the board to the sand.
Just so happens, as we came into the armory here today, I walked into the door was open, so I walked in there and captured this shot of, I'm not exactly sure, Maisie, maybe you can help, because this is like the runway up to a pit, but it's raised up off the ground. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing in indoor track, okay. Not outdoor.
Okay, so I assume this is the long jump pit. Is that right?
Yes, long and triple.
Okay. So they have measurement markings. And if you look, the takeoff point is a little bit before the 20-foot mark, maybe 19, 18 feet. And the pit starts at 15 feet. So that's not quite 7 feet. So as long as you clear a good 7-8 feet, if whatever we find is like that, you should hit sand instead of, you know, a hard surface.
That's honestly the only reason I would even attempt this, because if it was anything where I'm needing to stick the landing, I just need to like crumble into the sand. That's what I'm going for here. But that, I even see that like extra line there a little closer to the sand. Maybe I need to do.
Yeah. The other thing, and this is a real thing that is out near the track. This is for athletes who exert themselves. There is a can. And if you zoom in on that, you can see what the can is designated for. Okay. That's where, according to the sign, the spit and the vomit go. So,
okay.
Just let you know.
Is that like the international symbol for spit and vomit in can? It's like the little thing you would see on like a highway or a crosswalk or something like that. International symbol for spit and vomit in can.
Well, hopefully that means that it's not in the long jump pit.
This is truly a video. Like, if people haven't checked out the YouTube version of the podcast, this is the impetus for them to do that, because, yes, we are at spit and vomit in a can sign.
We are out of time. We'll leave you with this. Can we say who's on the show next time?
Let's just tease it. Because there's always possibility that something comes. Okay, you can say it.
Okay, well, it rhymes with Crab Underwood.
Yes.
Brad Underwood is scheduled.
Yes.
To be with us, but if one of the top wings in the portal becomes available, such that he has to go,
yes,
and tend to that, I think everybody would understand.
Absolutely. I would understand. Yeah. I wouldn't want him to join the podcast if there's recruiting to do.
Yeah, so. This is the time of year where anything can happen at any moment in terms of building your number one roster for next year.
That's right.
So we are scheduled. We can say that he has said yes and wants to be here as long as everything allows. If not, we'll have a good time in a different way.
We'll do an episode anyway.
Maisie, thank you so much. Thank you to our hosts here at the Center for Teaching and Learning, Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning inside the Armory. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. We'll talk to you again next time we light the eye.